Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So blessed to be in the house of God. First of all, I want to thank and praise each and every one of you who have pressed down on a Wednesday night. Amen?
Amen.
I know we have busy schedules, man, just to be here and to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We are in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's no other place. Amen? Well, I'm excited to present a brand new book this evening, and it's going to be introduction to the book of Romans. Amen. Romans. Whew, we're going to learn a little bit of history on this, and then we're going to go into our introduction, and then we're going to just break down just four verses. And it's called expository teaching. Amen. Amen. Line by line, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. And I thank and praise Pastor Leo for teaching me at Mission Valley on how to teach expository teaching. Praise God. And so let's look at this right up here on the screen. Here we go. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 1. And we're going to expound verses 1 through 4. And it's the introduction to the book of Romans. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go a little slow in the beginning here so that we don't rush this through. But we all need to know the purpose of this book. And so here it is. The purpose of the book is to introduce Paul to the Romans and to give a sample of his message before he arrives in Rome. Now, we all know Paul. He was one of the most persecuted apostles. As a matter of fact, the majority of the epistles, meaning the books or the letters that he wrote in the New Testament, were actually written in prison. And yet, God still made a way. Listen, this is how powerful God is. The bottom line is this. God preserved his word when it was even scribed down or written down in the prisons. Just imagine, this was not Donovan prison. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It didn't have all the amenities. It didn't have the showers and the hot and water running. It didn't have the flushable toilets. Come on. Many of them were chained to one another. And unfortunately, you know what that meant. You couldn't go to the restroom when you wanted. And so you could imagine in this place where they were held, it was a type of dungeon. And the stench was probably unbearable. And so we have to understand that Paul went through all this for you, for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Paul did this for you. That's right. He did it for you. That's right. But he didn't do it alone. The power of the Holy Spirit was with them. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. So now, obviously, the author was Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. It was the audience. And guess what? 2,000 years later, we're still the audience. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, we also want to look to see right up here, the audience is Christians in Rome and all believers everywhere. There were Roman Christians. Many of them were Gentiles, too. Okay, for those of you who've probably heard this term Gentile, who are the Gentiles? That's us. Look around. We're not Jews, right? We're Gentiles. So Jesus came, hallelujah, to save even us. He first came to the house of Israel, but then he came eventually to us. Praise God. Praise God. And so now, the date that this epistle was, or this book was written, approximately A.D. 57 from Corinth. So he wrote this not in Rome. He wrote this in Corinth. Where is Corinth? Corinth is off the coast of Turkey. And Sister Yolanda and I, we've been blessed and privileged. We've been to Corinth. We've been to the ruins in Ephesus. We were there on a side trip on our way to Israel to see the seven churches of Revelation. We even got to see where the seat of Satan was. Oh, yeah. And that, let me pause here for a moment. I want to just touch on this real quickly. Let me just say this. The seat of Satan was an actual seat. And what they did was, Germany wanted this. So Germany had this thing exported from Ephesus, and it ended up in Germany. And guess who sat on that throne?
Hitler.
And the devil came upon him. And 6 million Jews were slaughtered. Oh, yeah. We're dealing with a real devil. I hope you know that. And the devil doesn't play fair. But hallelujah, you and I, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has equipped us, and he has given us what? All of the armor of God. The helmet of salvation. Thank you, God. He has given us the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He has given us the breastplate of righteousness. And he has given us the shield of faith. And he has girded up our loins with truth. And he has prepared our feet with the feet shod prepared for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I just described was a Roman soldier. And the only way Paul can describe it was a Roman soldier. And all the armor was in the front. Notice there was no armor in the back. That lets us know that Christians should never retreat. Never turn their back on God and run away. Did you know back then if you ran away from the war, they'd kill you for treason? Well, that it would be no different. We would be turning our back on God. That would be treason in heaven. And some backsliders are still out there. They threw off all their armor and they went back out in the world. Pray for them. We know who they are. You know who they are. Pray that God's mercy,
yes,
hallelujah, would be upon them. Okay, so now let's go to the setting. Apparently, Paul had finished his work in the East, and he planned to visit Rome after first bringing a collection to Jerusalem for the poor Christians there. Let me just say this. If there was an outreach, he was there. This man had a heart for the lost. And those of you who love to do outreaches, and many of you here do, Paul would have loved to did outreach with you guys if he was living today. Praise God. Now, the Roman church was mostly Jewish, but also contained a great amount of Gentiles. Now, let me clarify this. When it says the Roman church, this is not a Catholic church. This is the church in Rome. Okay, it was a believing church. Holy Ghost filled. Praise God. This was not a Roman Catholic church, but a Roman church back then. Amen. Now, we're going to look at this also. The key verse. Because there's many chapters in the book of Romans. But one of the key verses found in this book of Romans is this one right up here. Look at this. The key verse is Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just hit on this for a moment. The moment we got saved, God gave us his peace. Hallelujah. I knew right then and there that my struggle regarding anger and hostility and being revengeful and being obnoxious and being belligerent and being hateful and being spiteful, all those things God eradicated as soon as I received him. Hallelujah. He poured in me a liquid love that I cannot comprehend till this day. Amen. And this was 34 years ago. Almost 35 now. And let me just say this. He hasn't stopped pouring it upon me. And he hasn't stopped pouring it upon you. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh yes. Therefore, having been justified by faith. The key verse, what does it mean by justified? Meaning just as if you and I never sinned. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed that when you stand now before God, he doesn't see all your sin. He doesn't see what you did yesterday, what you thought of this morning, what you let your eyes look at and you shouldn't have. Hearing things you shouldn't be hearing. Guess what? He doesn't see that. We've been justified by the blood. Now, if we continue in those things, he will chastise us. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Just like we have to discipline our children. If you don't discipline your child, it'll grow up to be what? A rebellious kid. A kid that will not listen to orders. It won't listen to parents. It'll have a Burger King life. Having it my way. But, hallelujah, because we've been justified by faith, guess what? It was our faith, and many of us had the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed is, right? Those of you who went to Israel, remember? They're smaller than a pulga. Oh, I'm sorry, a pulga is a flea. So, it's smaller than that. And yet, all you needed was that size of faith, and you were able to move a mountain. Thank you, Lord. God says you'll be able to move a mountain. There's mountains right now in front of you and I. Hallelujah. And God is saying, have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And God will move this mountain with you. Can I get an amen? Amen? There's something we must do. Guess what that is? We can't physically move that mountain. We can't go in there and purge it out of the way. No. When I say that he'll do it with you, with him is believing, having faith, hallelujah, that it can be done. Can I get amen? Amen. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that all things are possible through him. Hallelujah. For those who believe. How many believe that God is going to call you home soon in the rapture? Yeah. Oh, come on. If you don't raise your hand, I'll see you behind. You stay there. You stay right where you are then. I'm going with him. Can I get amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going with him. Yeah. But here's the thing. I need you to hear this clearly. You cannot take anyone with you.
Right. That's right.
Bible says, hallelujah, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yep. Hallelujah. We preach, we teach, we share, we sow. But you can't take no one with you. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And this is what I love about God. I truly believe, saints of God, he's not going to give us a mind for that no more. Why? Because there's no sorrow. There's no more sin in heaven. We can't be up there going, we can't be up there like that because then we're still thinking of sin. No, he's going to give us a mind like his. Hallelujah. And guess what? Whatever he justified himself in doing, we're going to say yes and amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you that you saved us. Listen, it's all about saving you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You can't think about no one else up there. But down here, we need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to be a witness. We need to, hallelujah, continue to share. Until he calls us home. Can I get amen? But once they're away with him, it's done. What's that old Spanish slang? Ya estuvo.
What's that?
Means it's done. It's done. It's complete.
That's it.
That's it. Hallelujah. Sister Dolly.
Dolly, I don't speak Spanish.
Oh. Okay. So now, when you find and start reading the book of Romans, look at this up here. There's some key people. Paul and Phoebe. Paul and Phoebe. Phoebe was an awesome servant. She was a blessing to Paul. Listen, let me just say this, and I'm so mighty, mighty thankful. There are many of you in this ministry that are like Phoebe's. You guys come alongside Sister Yolanda and I and have blessed us beyond comprehension. And we're mighty thankful for each and every one of you that come and share your time. You share your days, your Sundays, your Wednesdays. Hallelujah. There's things that you guys do. We didn't even have to say nothing. You guys just do them automatically. You know why? Because you guys love Jesus. You guys love God. You're not doing it for us. You're doing it for Him. And then we learn how to serve one another. We learn how to pray for one another. We don't do what Perry Stone said last night. Man. What he said last night. How many caught the message last night? Woo! He had someone really close to him. I'm just going to talk to him. He had someone really close to him. And that person came to him and said, do you know that a lot of us are kind of like upset and you got that plane? He goes, really? Who's a lot of us? He goes, well, a lot of us in ministry. Really? So you know what he did? He called her on that. He pulled in the whole ministry and asked them all in front of each other, did you say this? Did you say that? None of them said it. It was her. He called her. Yeah, it was her. So you got to be careful, hallelujah, on who you try to get on your side if you don't like someone. If you don't like someone, be careful by telling other people, hey, you know what? Come here. Come here. I'm saying this right now. God has me saying this because we fall in those traps. And all we want to do is get somebody on board with us. And guess what? Guess what? And then all of a sudden you think it's true. Oh, no, no, no. He called them all. He put all 20 of them up there on staff. One by one they said, no, we're thankful you bought that plane. You need that plane. And then he looked to the one that said that she said that all of them had said that. Now he didn't tell us what happened. Hopefully she repented and fell on her face before God and asked for the man of God to forgive her. And I'm sure Perry would. Or she hardened her heart and left. You see, you gotta watch out. Let me just say this. That's a Jezebel spirit at work. Can I get an amen? A Jezebel will try to get you to think of others in a bad way. And we need to crush that. We need to crush that. Why? Because there's a lot of folks that love to do that. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say nothing at all. Build them up. Your tongue should be building them up, not tearing them down. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Woo, thank you, God. Now, we're going to read this introduction together. And then we're going to expound the last four verses. Amen? So let's look at this right up here. We're going to look at the introduction. Now, this introduction starts off like, I'm going to ask this question. When Paul was Saul of Tarsus, what was his occupation? No, not a general.
But he was high up.
Okay, I'll give you another clue. He was from the line of Benjamin. Okay, but what else was he?
He was a scholar.
He was a scholar and everything.
He was a Pharisee,
but
he was also a persecuting the Jews.
He was an attorney.
Oh, okay.
He was an attorney of the day. Okay? And so many of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all of them looked to him and revered him. They worshipped him because he was the one that turned everything against the way. And who was the way? The believing church. It was the born again church. It was called the way. Not orale way, but it was the way. Can I get amen? That's what it was called, the way. And he came against the way. And so what did he do? He would persecute the church. He was the original drive-by. He was the original house invader. He would invade your home. He was looking for Christians everywhere. Just imagine how the mercy of God did not take this man out. You see, let me just say this. Saul of Tarsus at that time had so much zeal thinking he was doing God a favor. You got to remember, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he knew the Torah. He knew the five books of Moses. He knew them like inside and out. He knew them more than most rabbis. Okay? So he thought he was doing God a favor. I got to get rid of these imposters. And yet, hallelujah, God's mercy took that same zeal and flipped his heart. I need you to look at your own heart. You know how we were so entrenched in doing no good? He took that same zeal because we loved what we were doing, and he flip-flopped our heart, and now we're doing the things that we love about the things of God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Woo! He did that for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we love sin so much, he took that same zeal that we had for it, and he flipped our heart and said, now you're going to love me now. Watch. This is why he gets joy watching us.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
He knows we're frail. He knows we're made of dust. And yet he chooses to use you and me. Praise God. Praise God. So the introduction, it kind of identifies like an attorney. We're going to read this together. Look at this. Knowledgeable and experienced, the district attorney makes his case. Now my brother worked for the DA's office. He was an investigator. He was always in court. Now look at this. It goes on to read, calling key witnesses to the stand, he presents the evidence. After discrediting the testimonies of witnesses for the defense by skillfully cross-examining them, he concludes with an airtight summary and stirring challenge for the jury. You catch that? The announced verdict is no surprise. No surprise whatsoever. Look at this. Guilty, states the foreman, and justice is served. You see, saints, the apostle, let me go back right here. The apostle Paul was intelligent, articulate, and committed to his calling. Like a skilled lawyer, he presented the case for the gospel clearly and forthrightly in his letter to the believers in Rome. Paul had heard of the church at Rome, but he had never been there, nor had any of the other apostles. He was the first one to go to Rome. Wow, isn't that something? Praise God, praise God. Look at this. Evidently, saints of God, the church had been started by Jews who had come to faith during Pentecost. And you got to remember, when Paul got saved, they didn't trust him. They thought he was an imposter. He's just trying to dupe us. He's just trying to get us to reveal who we are. But look at this. They spread the gospel on their return to Rome, and the church grew, praise God. And although many barriers separated them, Paul felt a bond with these believers in Rome. Why? Because it was called the Koinonia Spirit. It was the same Holy Spirit that was in Rome, that where he was in Ephesus when he wrote this. He was writing about them just by reports, especially which came from Phoebe. We're going to learn about Phoebe down the road here. And look at this. Paul felt a bond with these believers in Rome. They were his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he longed to see them face to face. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Let me just pause. We were at this conference, this revival, for 3 nights. We didn't know one person there, but yet it was a blessing to be in the presence of God with them. It was beautiful to be around people you've never seen before ever. You'll probably never see them again until we get to heaven. And yet you were still praising God in there. Hallelujah. So Paul was praising God in Ephesus, writing down about the Romans. The church in Rome. Praise God. Look at this. And they were his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he longed to see them. What? Face to face. You see, saints of God, he had never met most of the believers there. Yet, the Bible says he loved them. He loved them. Praise God. Look at that. He sent this letter to introduce himself and to make a clear declaration of the faith. And what was that one key scripture? The just shall live by faith. Praise God. And so look, after a brief introduction, Paul presents the facts of the gospel and declare his allegiance to it. He declared who I am. He goes, I'm for God, not against God. He had to let them all know who he was in Christ Jesus and how God did something miraculous. Did you know before he, everywhere he went, let me just say this, everywhere he went from town to town, he always shared that I was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. He wasn't ashamed to share that. Why? Because they needed to hear who this man was. And there are times when people need to know who you were. You got to share them. You know what? Hey, I used to be a chief sinner. I used to do this and that. But look what I do now. It was the power of God that changed me. It was the power of God that delivered me. It was the power of God, hallelujah, that filled me with his love. Look at this. Paul presents the facts of the gospel and declares his allegiance to it. He continues by building an airtight case for the lostness of humanity and the necessity for God's intervention. He goes on in the book of Romans how God had to intervene on behalf of man. Why? Because we are lost without God. How many believe that we still need him right now? I need him before I go to bed. I need him when I wake up in the morning. I need him tomorrow. I need him yesterday. Hallelujah.
I need him when I'm sleeping.
Yes, yes. Come on, that's right. Hallelujah. And for me, the lack thereof. It takes a sledgehammer to get me to go to bed. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus, help us. Help us from this body of flesh.
Yes.
Look at this. Then Paul presents the good news. Salvation is all available to all. Look at this. Regardless of a person's identity, sin, or heritage. Aren't you so blessed? Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad he saved you? I shared this with Sister Yolanda last night when we were watching Perry Stone. Because every time we go to Tennessee and we go to one of his prophetic conferences, you walk in and all you see is Americans. I'm going to be gray-haired, just white folks, okay? But when he comes to California, You saw what you saw. Huh? You saw what you saw. So he must go, wow. Wow, this is like, wow. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Because God pours out over here too.
That's right.
So regardless, look at what I put up there. Regardless of a person's identity, sin, or heritage, we are saved by grace. Unearned, undeserved. Look at this. Favor from God through faith, complete trust in Christ and his finished work. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's his finished work. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Some people go, what are you? You look Filipino? Are you Mexican? I go, no, I'm a born again believer.
That's right.
I'm a child of the Most High God. Really? Yeah. And there's And I found out that there's Filipinos in the Bible. Just go to the book of, just go to the book of Philippians. Through Jesus, we can stand before God, what? Justified, not guilty. Can I get amen?
Amen.
With this foundation, Paul moves directly into a discussion of the freedom that comes from being saved. Freedom from the power of what?
Sin.
From the power of sin.
Thank you.
Woo! Thank you, God. Look at this. Freedom from the domination of the law. In other words, the law doesn't condemn us anymore. See, it was the law that condemned us. It was grace that saved us.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
It was the law that bound us up. The law pointed out every sin in your life. Look at this, look at that. And then grace came, hallelujah, and covered us by the blood, hallelujah. Jesus, look at this. Freedom to become like Christ and discover God's limitless love. This is the description, the introduction to the book of Romans. Look at this. Speaking directly to his Jewish brothers and sisters, Paul shares his concern for them and explains how they fit into God's plan. God has made the way for Jews and Gentiles to be united in the body of Christ. Both groups can praise God for his wisdom and what?
And love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. This is why it was a joy. It was a joy for our brother Perry to come to California and he sees, hallelujah, he sees some salsa here. He saw some bean and cheese burritos here.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It wasn't just fried chicken. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Paul explains what it means to live in complete submission to Christ. We're going to learn this as we go in the weeks to come. Because the book of Romans is long. There's a lot of chapters. And you know us, we like to break it all down. So we'll be here for a while. But I'm just giving you a foretaste of what this book is about. An introduction to this book. Oh, hallelujah. And so Paul explains what it means to live in complete submission to Christ. And how to use spiritual gifts to serve others. Genuinely loving others. And be good citizens. Praise God. So we can be really good in the house of God. But are you like a little devil at home? You hear me say that? Oh, we can praise the Lord all day long. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And go home and kick the dog. Curse somebody out. Ooh. Hallelujah. We need to genuinely love others and be good citizens. Can I get amen? Freedom must be guided by love as we build each other up in the faith, being sensitive and helping to those who are weak. Praise God. There's going to be people weak in the midst of us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul stresses unity, especially between Gentiles and Jews. Praise God. Look at this. And he concludes by reviewing his reasons for writing, outlining his personal plans, greeting his friends, and giving a few final thoughts and greetings from his traveling what?
Companions.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
And so, turn with me, saints of God, to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and praise you. Thank you for the introduction to this wonderful book. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, as we read the book of Romans, we need to re-examine your commitment, my commitment to Christ. We are all committed to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
and reconfirm your relationship with other believers in the body of Christ. Many of us, let me just say this, and I'm going to get on with the scripture, but many of us have forsaken some folks in the midst of us. And sometimes we need to repent of that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to repent of that. Because there ain't no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. When you start thinking that I'm this and that, and I'm all that and this and that, and God will humble you. And you'll find out who you are. You about nobody. You about nothing in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to stay humbly and walk in His grace. Praise God. Here we go. We're going to look at these four verses right up here. Romans 1, 1 through 4. Verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So God called him to be an apostle. Separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So this was already proclaimed from heaven. It was proclaimed through the prophets. It was proclaimed on his position as an apostle. Now, what is an apostle? An apostle is one who has been sent. Okay? So what apostles do in this time, and I don't know about the ones that are calling themselves apostles today, but during this time, they were called to go to different regions and set up churches. That's right. They would plug in a church, and then they would go and plug in another church. They didn't stay there. They were there to build churches and go do that what God's called them to do. All right? So then, verse 3, concerning the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. We've been learning through Pastor Art in the book of Genesis. And we're learning about Jacob. But we're learning about the lineage from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Jesus, our Lord, was born of the seed of David. Because David came down that same line. As soon as we get past Jacob, we're going to get into others. We're going to get into Joseph. But we're going to get to a point where David came. Hallelujah. And Judah. Yeah, all of them. Look at this. And declared to the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. So let's break this down. Verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. You see, saints, Paul had many friends in Rome. Paul had not personally visited that church as we just explained. So he begins his letter by formally presenting his credentials. Praise God. So look at this. Paul, he said, I'm a bondservant, Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So he introduces this letter to the Romans on who he is. He had to identify who he is. Because they needed to know, who is this character that's given us this letter? Separated to the gospel of God. Meaning, he was sanctified, set apart. Hallelujah. And he was called, hallelujah, himself. He calls himself a slave to Christ now. Did you know that we were slaves at one time? We were slaves to sin.
Sure.
Hallelujah. And how many are now don't mind to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, hallelujah. Lord, if I need to go that way, tell me. If you need me to pull this way, pull me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm yours forevermore, God.
Right.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Meaning one is the subject to the will and wholly at the disposal of his master. Who's our master? The Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in using the term, expresses his absolute devotion and subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who he was. And for a Roman citizen, saints of God, to identify himself as a servant was unthinkable. Unthinkable. That's right. Because over there, it was nothing but no, probably just the same as it was in Gaza today. No heart for people. Butchers. You know, Romans were butchers. Hallelujah, man. You see, my friends, Paul could have introduced himself to these Romans as a Roman citizen, but no. He said, what did he say? I'm called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Praise God. He wasn't ashamed. And everywhere he went, he would testify on who he was. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And one of his testimonies is found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Let's look at this story. I want some of you who probably read this many times, but read it again to see the depth of God's call. The length that God will go to save you and I. Did you know that he saved you in situations that were different probably to the person that's sitting right next to you, but yet he still called you? See, you didn't know me back in the day. I didn't know you. But yet, every one of us has a unique calling to our life. But the bottom line, guess what? We're called to be saints. The saints of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So, let's look at this. Let's look at this story in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Look at this. Then Paul, still breathing threats. Saul of Tarsus, not Paul. Saul of Tarsus, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, verse 2, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so if he found anyone who were of the way, you catch that?
Yeah.
The way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. His whole agenda was to destroy Christians. Wow. Look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around from heaven. Heaven basically put a spotlight on him. Hallelujah. Just imagine. Here you are, you're in the desert, and you're on your way to kill Christians, and a big spotlight comes on you from heaven. Wow, look at this. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Notice his countenance. Who are you, Lord? I'd say Lord too. Hearing a voice from heaven like that. And guess what? We'll see in this writing right here that others that were around him heard the same voice. Look at this. So it wasn't a figment of his imagination. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Look at verse 6 here. So he, trembling and astonished. I don't see no pride here, do you? Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, all of a sudden, he was at his beck and mercy now. You think out of all these people that he murdered and butchered, that he would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Look at this. And the Lord said to him, arise. And go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into where? Damascus. Okay. That's over there in the Libya area, where Libya is. And there's a prophecy about that. And it's about ready to happen. Look at this now. Verse 9. And he was there 3 days without sight. What? That light that shone on him blinded him. This is why he said, yes, Lord. He couldn't see no more. Just imagine if you're... Just close your eyes. Just all of you in here. And those of you that are watching. Matter of fact, we welcome you, Facebook and YouTube. But close your eyes right now. Just imagine your eyes shut like that for 3 full days. Picture that. 3 full days. Just total darkness. You couldn't see anything. Just imagine a person like Stevie Wonder, who's never seen since birth. Wow. Look at this. Arise and go to that city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. Okay, there was men with him. Hearing a voice, but seeing no one. They heard the same voice. God made sure they heard him too. Look at this. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into where? Damascus. Verse 9, look at this. And there he was for 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank. So that's what you call a serious 3-day fast. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, Lord, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. You lost your sight, you'd be praying too. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh God, I want to see again. Amen. Ain't nobody want to be in darkness? Can I get amen?
Amen?
Look at this in verse 12. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Now Ananias is questioning God. Are you sure, God? Are you sure I'm supposed to go pray for this man? He's killing us all. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. No, God, I don't want... Would you go? This guy's butchered, beheaded. He's thrown people to the fire. He's thrown them to the lions. He's put them in dungeons. He's done house invasions. He has beheaded them. He's done everything that Hamas did to the Jews today.
Mercy.
Are you catching this? The same thing. Nothing's changed. It's the same devil. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for I want you to catch this, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to hear. Well, look at this. To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are a chosen vessel. That's right. And here's the thing about that. It's unrevocable.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's unrevocable.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When God chose you before the foundation of the world, he already saw all the junk in your trunk. He saw how toe up from the flow up you were. Yet he still chose you. He still saved us. He still washed it in his blood. And now we got a new nature. Hallelujah. Now we have become the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Look at this. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name. Oh, that's the part a lot of us don't want to hear. We're always thinking, yeah, I want to be on the mountaintop. Well, guess what? God will put you in the valley too.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
But can you still praise him in the valley?
Yes.
Can you still worship him in the valley? Because
yes.
We're always not going to be on the mountaintop. Oh, drunk in the spirit, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And you find out one day you ain't got no but a dime in your pocket. There's only enough for a bowl of rice in the cupboard. Are you still going to praise him? Woo! Are you still going to worship Him? Oh, God, help us, Jesus. For I will show Him. Well, look at this. How many things He must suffer for my name's sake. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, just imagine laying hands on the one that probably killed your neighbor. Your cousin. Look at this. Who appeared to you. Look at this. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what comes to mind right now? When I was at North Park Apostolic Church seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And when Brother Felipe laid hands on me, and when Elder Smith laid hands on me, they were laying hands on someone that did those same things that Saul did. I need you to catch that. They didn't know who I was, but God knew who I was. He knew the things I was in. He knew the evil that I did. And yet, He told those chosen vessels to lay hands on me. Hallelujah! And He laid hands on you. People laid hands on you. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. Let us get revelation out of this tonight, God. Hallelujah, that we're chosen vessels. Hallelujah. Immovable, unshakable. Hallelujah. Even through tough times, God is with us. Even with the bank, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Drops from the bottom and then we lose everything. Hallelujah. Will you still praise Him? Yes. Has He still been good to you?
Yes.
My goodness. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. We love you, God. Amen. Jesus, we love you, God. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And look at this. After He told that He must suffer many things for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias, he cut the rug from that point on. Look at this. And he went his way. And he entered the house and laying hands on the brother Saul, the Lord said, who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And look at verse 18 here. Immediately, I'll think about it. As soon as hands were laid on him, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Look at that. Did you notice that? Repentance? Then what? Baptism. Oh, hallelujah. You see, you can't receive anything until you repent. Until you confess. Until you let people know that God is God and I'm not God. And I'm sorry for all the things I've ever done, God. And when you come to that place, hallelujah. And you get rid of the anger and the clamor. And not being revengeful anymore. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. When you've come to that place of brokenness, that's when God says, okay, now you got a blessing coming your way. Like Perry Stone said last night, times of refreshing will come upon. Just imagine how many years we were out there as sinners, wasting our life. And the moment we got saved, He gave us joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He redeemed the time. And He has redeemed the time now. Whoo, thank you, God. Look at verse 19. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. You see, saints, Paul's assignment was to teach the good news of salvation. Amen? Amen. Especially to the Gentiles. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church right here. In Galatians 1:16. Look at this. To reveal his son in me. That I might preach Him, who? Jesus, among the Gentiles. That's us, the Gentile people. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Praise God. He said, I came to preach to the Gentiles. Praise God. Amen. See, he already knew the Jews, and God was going to deal with them. God sent him to preach to the Gentiles. And there's something about preaching the gospel to an un-Jew or someone that's not Jewish. Because when you preach to a Jew, you better know your Torah. You better know, hallelujah, the Old Testament, because they will try to box you in. But an unbeliever never read nothing. What you're telling them, God will start giving them faith to believe that right now. Because none of us, hallelujah, were birthed into the kingdom as scholars. Can I get an amen? And none of us, hallelujah, none of us had the Bible in our hand. Matter of fact, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. He took that from me and gave me his promises.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. He took all that vile and vulgar. He took all that stuff from me and from you and gave us his word. Jesus. You see, saints, the title apostle, it designated authority to set up and supervise churches and discipline them if necessary. You know, he was a great disciplinary person. And sometimes discipline is needed every now and then. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Oh, yes. Listen, if you don't discipline your child, they'll grow up to hate you. And you know why they'll hate you? Because you know what they'll say to you as they become adults? And if they ever come to their senses, they're going to hate you because they're going to say this: you never disciplined me. You never put me in my place. And you let me do whatever I wanted to. And I'm suffered because of this. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is why train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. There are times we have to take the Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're not to beat them where the authorities come. No. Am I saying that? I can see already someone said, we need to call the authorities on this guy right now. That's a lie from the pit. Even more than a title of authority, apostle means one sent on a mission, like an envoy or an ambassador. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So let's move on to verse number 2. We got a couple more verses to break down here. Which he promised, we're in Romans chapter 1, verse 2. Which he promised before through his prophets in the what? In the Holy Scriptures. Praise God. The good news had been promised long ago by God and was not a new religion. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It was rooted in God's promises in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the goodness of God. Throughout the Old Testament, we see a foreshadow. You know what a foreshadow is? It is something that you see then at that time to become revealed in its own time in the future. Just like throughout the scriptures found in Jeremiah, Isaiah, it talked about the Messiah that would come. The Messiah that would be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah that would be crucified for us in the book of Isaiah. All these scriptures talk about a foreshadow of things to come. And so we are here because those things have come to pass. We are the recipients of that grace. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're recipients of God's grace. And even though the church in Rome consisted mostly of Gentiles and former converts to the Jewish faith, Paul reminded them all in their acceptance of the gospel that they were not chasing off the Holy Scriptures. He wanted them to embrace the Scriptures. You see, he wanted to make sure, no, you keep the Tanakh. You keep, hallelujah, the five books of Moses, the Torah. You keep the Old Testament, but I'm writing now a new letter to you, which in the future will be for us. And it will be all about Jesus. See, does anyone know what Bible means? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? Basic instructions. So, when we read the Old and the New Testament, man, God just, woo! He just puts it together for you and I. And you know how we know it's God? Because of the Holy Spirit living in us. It brings confirmation, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Let's move on to verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Praise God. We're going to get there, Pastor Art, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to get there, right? We're going to get there. Slowly but surely, we're going to get there. Yes. We're going to have to go through a whole lot of pot of baked beans and chili beans and cornbread. But we're going to get, and pizza and all that. We're going to get there, though. We're going to get there. We're going to break it down. Huh? Break it down. Hallelujah. Saints, after introducing the messenger himself, the message, the gospel, and the source of God, Paul turns to the subject of the message. And what is the message? The message in Romans is to repent, that the just shall live by faith. When we get into Romans chapter 1, there's things, and we don't have it tonight, as we go in this book, there's going to be some things in Romans chapter 1 where today's world will refute it, will say it's no longer valid, I will not adhere to it, and they will be rebellious to it. But whatever is written is forever settled in heaven. Can I get an amen? And as a believer, we got to say, if God said it, so be it. Can I get an amen? The Bible says, let God arise and let every man be a liar. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Yes. And so every jot and tittle in the word of God is already forever settled in heaven. Praise God. Paul summarizes the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The central focus of the gospel is the Lord Jesus himself, God's Son, who was both human and divine at the same time. How many are so blessed to know that? He was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Praise God. Jesus. Look what I found in Luke 3:31. The son of Melia, the son of Menon, the son of Matana, the son of Nathan, the son of David. This is the lineage that came, and then after David, did you know that when Jesus comes back, what throne is he going to sit on? He's going to sit on the throne of David. Woo! Why? Because he's the root from David. Praise God. And look, I need you to catch this. As us Gentiles and reading God's word, was David always faithful? Was he always true?
No.
Did he make mistakes? Did he rebel against God at times? Yet, he still was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. And that from his root would come the Messiah. Let me just say this. Let me just say this, saints of God. All the believers around the world that have come and gone, some are still with us, we're still here, we're believers, we've been born from him. We can call ourselves the remnant, because there's a remnant around the world. Can I get amen? Amen? But one thing, we have a common denominator. What is it? What's the common denominator with all of us? No, there's something that's profound, and God showed it to me. It's so profound. I've said this before, but I'm just going to remind us. God didn't save us because he saw good works. He didn't save us because we were going to be goody good two shoes. He didn't save us because, okay, I can use him now. He saw something deeper than you and I could have ever seen. He saw that every one of us had a heart like David. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We all had a heart like David. Meaning, when David sinned, he didn't stay in his sin. He would cry out and say, God, forgive me. God, I need you. I sinned against you. And many of us, hallelujah, when we sin, we don't stay in it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, will convict us. We'll fall on our face and say, oh God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God.
Amen.
Every one of us has been in that place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And none of us have the gall to say, I don't care.
Nope.
I'm going to go do my thing. No.
Repent.
We repent. And we cry out. And we say, oh God. So all of us, this is why Jesus came from the line of David. Because David wasn't perfect. But he had a heart after God. And God chose to come through his lineage.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And that's why we can look at each other. Look at each other. And when we see each other, just look at one thing. Just know one thing. We all have a heart like David. There's no big eyes and little U's. There's no perfect one here. Hallelujah. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you start to think that you're better than others, think again.
That's right.
Watch some ugly thing come upon you. And God will humble you. Oh, all of a sudden, man. Well, just came up. Well, you shouldn't have been thinking. Or you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have belittled them. And God will just go, boom. You need to stew here for a minute. I'm going to put you on timeout right now. I'll come back to you. I'll let you out of the whooping shed. We've been. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what else. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. How many is somebody getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this in 2 Timothy 3 and 8. Remember that Jesus, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Paul was not ashamed to share that. You know why? Because he knew the Old Testament. He knew King David, hallelujah, had frails and faults. And like anybody else, this is why Paul identified with him. This is why he used David in his writings. Because he found out King David wasn't perfect, but yet he had a heart for God. And we find out in these letters that Paul wrote, he had a heart for God too. He just didn't know it. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, how many feel the Holy Ghost right now? Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. He caught a bow. She caught a bow. See, woo, Jesus. Jesus. Woo. See, saints, Jesus was born into King David's royal family line in Bethlehem in David's tribe, Judah. King David was promised a kingdom without end. Hallelujah. Look what I found here, and we're coming in. We're coming in. Look at this in 2 Samuel 7:12. Look at this. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. This is the prophet writing about David. And who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever through David. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him, and with the rod of men, and with the blows of the sons of men. Listen, God didn't allow David to get away with nothing. He paid a hefty price, didn't he? But look at this. This is what I love. Say this with me. But my mercy. Say that again. But my mercy, hallelujah, shall not depart from him. And God's mercy will not depart from you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hey. He will not depart from you. Look at this. And as I took him from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the prophet telling King David before he had to close his eyes and go into glory. Wow. He had to send the prophet one more time to let him know on your deathbed, this is what I have through your lineage. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we come to that place, when your children come to your bedside, hallelujah, they're going to know, hallelujah, that there's a lineage for me too. Hallelujah. If God did it for you, he will do it for me. This is why you got to live the life of Christ before them. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus. I told you we're going to see something that's always been here. Hallelujah. But God's illuminated it to us right now. In the name of Jesus. Whoo, hallelujah. Saints, in the birth of Jesus Christ, the eternal King of Kings. Hallelujah. That promise was fulfilled through King David. Hallelujah. And it was fulfilled in the writings of Paul, the apostle. Because he made sure, he reminded the New Testament saints who Jesus was and the lineage he came from. Woo! And how God saved a wretch like him. Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he says I was a chief sinner. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In Christ's divinity, we see his worthiness to take our place in receiving the punishment for sin that is due to us. And I close with our last scripture. Verse 4 in Romans chapter 1. How many is loving the book of Romans already? Amen. I can't wait to dig in deeper. Amen. We're going to dig and dig and dig. Can I get amen?
Amen?
There's nuggets here. There's gold nuggets. Hallelujah. In his word. Hallelujah. Listen, we have to be like explorers digging. We got to dig, hallelujah. And then God will show us a golden nugget. Wow, I didn't know that was there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 4. And declared to the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from what? From the dead. Hallelujah. And so, my friends, Jesus, his entire life from his human conception to his resurrection was planned, promised and fulfilled by God. His nature as God's Son was made clear when God powerfully raised him from the dead by the means of the Holy Spirit. He was, is, and will always be the Son of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Christ's resurrection unthinkably revealed that truth to the world. The world cannot deny that Jesus rose again. They can say, yeah, that's right. I'm glad you believe that. But let me just say that. They can believe all that nonsense. But then one day they will stand before a holy God. Hallelujah. And what you and I share with them will not come back void.
Hallelujah.
We are the witnesses. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We are the modern day Paul. Hallelujah. The modern day Saul. Hallelujah. The modern day David. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I had a little more, but I'm going to end right here. I felt God saying, all right, we're going to end right here. But God, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Maybe, just maybe, you that are online right now. Maybe, just maybe. Hallelujah. you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, that God wants to do something in your life like he did for Saul of Tarsus, for the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He did it for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He can do it for you. Those of you who have logged on Facebook and YouTube, God has a plan for you.
Amen.
And for us, God built up our faith here tonight, knowing, hallelujah, that his perfect plan and his will not be thwarted by man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's going to complete what he started in us.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
And what he has started in you is beautiful. And it will, hallelujah, come into fruition in his time. Hallelujah. For me, 34 years ago, never thought I'd be a pastor, but I'm pastoring today. For you, we don't know how long your walk will be with him, but he's got something special and mighty for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And God wants to use you. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be used by him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you have to do is keep loving him. Keep praising him. Keep adoring him. Hallelujah. And love others like yourself. Hallelujah. And watch God do the miraculous. And so, my friends, this is your opportunity right now to give your heart to Jesus. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray right now this simple prayer of faith that you would ask Jesus to come into your heart. Hallelujah. Don't let a light throw you off your beast. Receive it gracefully now. Hallelujah. Don't be in a place where God has to just drop you over a cliff, you survive, and then you open your eyes. Okay, God, I'm here, I am. You don't have to go through all that. You can receive them right now where you're sitting. You can receive them in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever you're watching right now. I feel God speaking to you right now. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Woo! Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.